We've been having a great time at worship, haven't we? It's been such a wonderful, rich morning with all kinds of different music and prayers being lifted up and scriptures that have filled our hearts. It's great to have the children here with us to worship with us, the youth to be here, to have those who have had very special birthdays here with us as well. And we just thank God for the worship that we have together. And I think that this scripture today is really all about worship. It's filled with all kinds of wonderful things. It's just it's like a Christmas gift for us today in the scripture, as God gives us this word to consider and to be encouraged by and to be strengthened by and to be given hope by. Did you notice how many times the word hope came up in the scripture as when he was reading and as we were reading this scripture? What a wonderful gift that God has given to us of hope in the world where so many people are saying we have none. We don't have hope because the life that they have is just so filled with many different things that are discouraging. Not encouraging, but discouraging. And so what they need is a good dose of God in their lives. They need this scripture that is given to them to help them and encourage them with. It says in the beginning of this great reading in Romans 15, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope." And so God is telling us through Paul that it is through the scriptures that we are given strength to endure this life until we reach heaven. And through the encouragement of the scriptures, we have encouragement, something that is encouraging us and giving us what we need so that we have hope. And that's what it comes from. And that's what the scriptures have for us. And so when we read the Bible, keep that in mind as you open your word. Right? The word of God. The word of God. And when you say, "Lord, I open your scripture today to be given endurance for this life and to have encouragement from you." And you're going to get it. And I don't mean it like you're going to get it, you know, in a bad way. You're going to get it in a good way, that God is going to give you that encouragement that you need. And we, when we're in a state that is not encouraged, have a lack of hope that anything is going to help. Amen? You ever feel that way? It's like, okay, I'll try it. If you say so, I'll do it. But it's a sure thing that God gives to us. Recently, I've been singing some music, and we did some performing, and we're doing some performing, Lee Chan and I. And it's very difficult music. And I was thinking to myself, you know, this is just not going right. And something's not clicking, and something, it's just too hard, right? And I started to pray about it. And I took out my Bible, and I started to read it. And do you know what happened? God gave me encouragement. And I realized that I was making it hard on myself because I started without God. Right? Dive into the music. It's really hard, so I better learn it. But the place to begin is to open the scriptures of encouragement and endurance, and then you have the source of what you need to be able to sing. There was a wonderful letter sent out by Calvin Chan. You remember Calvin in Juilliard and Manhattan School of Music? He's one of our missionaries at work. He's a cellist also. And he sends out newsletters time to time. I'll send this out to you as well. But he told a very encouraging story about this girl who is a singer, an opera singer in Juilliard. And he said, she's known as the Jesus singer. She's the Jesus singer. And he goes on to tell the story that she is so in love with Jesus that she goes into her voice lessons and tells her teacher about Jesus. And word got around because she's talking about Jesus with all of her other fellow students at Juilliard. And they know her because of Jesus. And so they called her that. And he goes on to say that in her lesson, her teacher is praying with her now during their voice lessons to Jesus, not a Christian, someone who is their teacher, and they're going into their lessons and they spoke about it with their teacher. And the teacher now, if she notices that this young lady is not singing the way she should be, she says, "Have you been worshiping Jesus? Is your life together in Jesus? Because just as you have faith in Jesus and he is the foundation of your life," I'm not making this up, I'll send you the letter. "Just as Jesus is the foundation of your life, you need to support your singing in the same way." Isn't that amazing? And so the teacher is using her faith in Christ to teach her and to remind her that her foundation for her life is found in him. And guys, I just want to tell you, of all ages that we're here, we need to begin with him. I sent out a prayer by Thomas Aquinas that I've written down, and it's very, very detailed and very, very good for me to have that, because I begin now my day reading that prayer. And what he says in it that got my attention was, "God, order my life. Order my life." And what that meant for me was, I go off too soon to do things without going to God first. So by ordering my life, I go to him first. And I say, it doesn't have to be long. And you can read a prayer of somebody else too. Just something. But get yourself in that kind of a place and pray each day before you do anything else. And it will change your life. Because you will have an encouragement from a God who is encouraging. And he's real. And that's what this is talking about. He goes on in verse 5, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so this encouragement now is being extended, and he's praying for the believers that were around him, saying, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with another, in accord with Jesus, that you begin to sing with one voice." Now, this is right up our alley if you're a singer and a musician. But even if you're not, you're a worshiper, and it's exactly what we can learn from. Harmony is two or more voices singing together, different parts, but singing together and making a pleasing sound. And that's what it is that he's using here to describe this. Harmony. It's a beautiful, beautiful term that we as the church need to be familiar with, because it's in God's Word, but it's also very, very helpful for us to be able to see one another. We may be different in different ways. We come from different countries. We come from different backgrounds. We have different family lives. We speak different languages. But when we come into the family of God, we are in harmony. And it's beautiful. Right? A word that you learn when you're in music that goes against harmony is dissonance. It's a dissonance, something that clashes, something that goes against the whole beauty and pleasing sound that we want to make. Right? But God is saying, we come together, and he was talking really to the Jews and the Gentiles, the two completely different peoples, and saying, you are going to be one, and lifting up one voice to God to praise his name. And that's what worship is all about. And that's what we're about here, right? But he says that we want to have that encouragement come from God. And so if we're going to have that in our church, it is nothing, and I really want you to hear this, it is nothing that you or I can do in our own power. It's just like beginning the day by saying, I'm going to start to practice this music because it's so hard and I got to get it right. And saying, I'll just skip over God and get right to the heart of it because I have to get this done. Or I have a test coming up in school and I've got to get that done, and maybe later I will have time to pray. Wrong. It's the foundation of all we do. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything that we do here in life is given to us by God. Study. Everything that we do. Practicing. Right? Preparing for work. Right? All these different things. If we go to work without God being the first in our day and the one that we go to throughout the day, then we have lost the focus and we will not be effective in our lives. It doesn't have to be long. Okay? That's very important today in the world of texting. We don't do things long. Right? If somebody reads or sends something long to us, we're like, can you cut it down? I'm really busy. You're important to me, but keep the text to a minimum. I need to just get the point, right? So that's the kind of world we're in. We have a very understanding God. He's very encouraging. He's saying, what I'm looking for is not a lot of words. I'm not looking for an extended time, because I know you have to get to school, and I know you have to take that test, and I know you have to do this, and I know you have to do all these different things. I know everything. What I'm saying is, I need your attention first, because without me, you can't do anything. Amen? And so when we come to church on Sundays and prepare for worship, then we have this in mind. I'm going to be in harmony with my brothers and sisters, and so I need to start my day not when I get here, but before I come here. And when the first thing in the morning, I say, Lord, give me order in my life. Right? Give me order in my life. Let me have that focus. Hi. So cute. Anyway, sorry about that. So talk about being focused. But anyway, you know, so it's the easiest thing to do and the hardest thing to do, right? We're always struggling in this, but don't give up. Start anew. Today's today, tomorrow is tomorrow. I started singing a song. I found a song online that talks about yesterday was another day, today is a new day, Lord. Help me to begin it with you. And it's a beautiful prayer. It's a song, very soft, kind of beautiful sort of a song. And I found that helps me to focus my life. And it's very brief, right? And you get into it and you start to sing and you're like, wow, my life is much more hopeful. That we would sing with one voice to glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what God is not just wanting for His church, but for all people, all nations. And this is what we need to pray, that people will have harmony with one another. How do they get it? Through Christ. Through Christ. In accord with Christ. In accord. Right? That's harmony. With Him. With Christ. That is the way we achieve this harmony. Together, that together, you will glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we glorify Him. And we do that. And we can do it in different ways. It's not just music. But if you take an instrument or you take your work and you lay it before God and you say, Lord, here I am. This is what I do. Can you bless it so it'll bring glory to your name? It will. It will. Do we believe that? If you're struggling with that concept, try it out. I know it's true. I know he'll show you, because he's a God of promise. He promised the people here. And then it goes on to this great line. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. And so we welcome one another. We accept one another. We love seeing one another, and we overcome whatever it is that's dividing us, because why? We want to give glory to God. So it takes us away from the mundane things and the things that separates us, and it focuses on what life is supposed to be, this overflowing hope that God gives to us. So that, remember, I was talking about this as a singer. You breathe in. And we're all like kind of just, you know, and if you look at people in New York running down the streets, you know, everybody's trying to get ahead and pushing away and, you know, trying to get something first. And what we're like, we're saying, you know, I'm going to fight against that, and I'm just going to open up myself, my chest, and I'm going to breathe in Christ into me in that day, and I'm going to let Him have victory in my life. So nobody and nothing is going to get in my way. And even if something happens, my boss gives me a problem, or a teacher gives me a problem, or somebody in your family gives you a problem, you're like, I'm above this because I have overflowing joy coming into me through the Holy Spirit. I have overflowing hope through the Holy Spirit of God. That's where we're going. with this. This is what he's going to do. You just watch and see. He's going to do it. And it spreads. And the great thing is it spreads through the world. So don't ever feel discouraged by something when something happens, because God is there. He's in everything, and he can bring this about in a good way. So we welcome one another. We welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. He has welcomed you. Isn't that amazing? Christ welcomes us. He's glad to see us, right? If you have a mat in front of your door, it says welcome. Why? Because you want people to feel that they're safe coming to your doorstep, right? You're inviting them in, and Christ invites us in. He wants us to be his. He doesn't care if we're not perfect. He doesn't care if we've messed up and done things wrong. He's welcoming to us, right? I wanted to tell the kids, but I forgot. But one of the things I think of hope as being is this moment where you mess up and you think, oh, I really did it now. And then you think, but my brothers and sisters still welcome me. So I don't have to fear that. It doesn't even have to enter my mind, because Jesus has called us to welcome one another. And it's actually, that's the most prominent, important time to show that you really mean it, when someone has not done something well or have done something wrong. And you say, it's not going to matter. I still love you. Right, and we do that a lot of times with people that we're friends with, or that we're family with. But if somebody we don't like does something, then that just brings out what Jesus is talking about in loving our neighbor, our enemies. Right. So put it into practice. When you have a problem with someone, you go, "Wow, I love this, because now I get to show that I understand what Jesus did for me, and I can do the same thing in that way." And life is going to be so much better. I don't even have to put that down as being the thing, a thing on my list that I have to struggle with. It's not going to get in my way, because Jesus is the one who is going to have the victory here. And that problem that person has made for me is not going to matter, because Jesus is greater than any situation that comes up like that. Try it out. Try it out. Show, and God will show you. His strength and power will come in, and he will feel his spirit inside of you living there. It's not a maybe. It's a truth that the Bible teaches us. I tell you that Christ became a servant to the uncircumcised to show God's truthfulness. He is true, and what he says is true. And it was also having to do with a covenant that he made with the patriarchs, with Abraham, with Moses, with all these people, making a covenant. I am going to hold my part of the bargain, and you can depend on me. And it led all the way to the cross. In order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And so the Gentiles were not a part of the covenant that God had made with the Jews, but they were the receivers of his mercy. You see, so God is sharing himself with all people. And we talk about the problems in the world, we have the answer. We've been talking about that last week. God is the answer for all of the nations. Jesus Christ is the answer for all of the nations. We want to see harmony. We want to see people who are holding on to power give it up. Bring Jesus in there. They can't stand a chance. His power is too powerful. His love is not going to matter. We sang a song like that today, right? His love is greater. It doesn't matter. His love endures, and it's more powerful than anything that the world could even think about. And that's what we have today in this beautiful time of worship together, this message, to glorify God for his mercy, to know that Christ became a servant for all people, to show them that God the Father was true in what he said. And what does it result in? Therefore I will praise you. And again, rejoice, O Gentiles. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. Praise. Worship. Celebration of life. It's hard sometimes. right? God knows that. He knew it because Jesus went through that. But don't give up, because God is the God of endurance, right? We Christians don't give up. We don't give up on anybody. I can tell you there were people that probably wanted to give up on me, but they were Christians and they didn't. Right? They saw me in my earlier days. Psh, what's going to happen to this kid? There was another guy who in our church was in high school, and he was just all over the place. And a friend of mine was a mentor to him and was trying to work with this kid all through his days. And people were like, oh, that kid, he's never going to go anywhere. And he got into this age where he was on his own, away from home, and different things were going on. And he called up his friend and he said, I need your help. I need your help. What am I going to do? I've been away from you. I knew you were trying to get to me when I was at church and everything like that. But now I know that you were trying to help me. I need your help now. Can you help me? And he said, of course I'll help you. So everybody goes through times where it's difficult and you feel like, you know, nobody understands me and my life is not going the way it's supposed to be, and I'm fighting with my parents, or I'm fighting with my spouse, or I'm fighting with my kids, or I'm fighting with this person and that person, all these different things going on. That's nothing new. Turn to God and say, God, help me. And He'll be there immediately. Immediately, because He is there with you now. In those times that you think you're alone and that nobody understands, God is there with you all the time. And He loves you, and He died for you, and you're going to see Him again one day. Don't give up, because God loves you. God loves you. The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, and him will the Gentiles hope. And that root of Jesse is Jesus. The root of Jesse is talking about Jesus, and it's an amazing thing because the root of Jesse is actually referring to someone who came before Jesse. And actually, he's saying he's going to come from the line of Jesse, the generation of Jesse, the family of Jesse. But this root always was and always will be. And he is the one. He is the one who is coming. And he came into the world at Christmas time, and that is the connection we have for all of this scripture here, filled with hope. Why do we love Christmas so much? Because it reminds us, if we forgot, that God is a God of hope. And you don't have to worry, because he's there for you. And he showed it to us by sending his son Jesus into the world. And he came at Christmas time. And that's why we celebrate and we lift up our voices in worship, and we have the youth singing this beautiful music to sing to Jesus Christ and to praise his name, that he came into this world and set the world free, a world that was filled with despair. Despair. Right? We people in our church here as Jesus Christ followers can say very, very boldly and proclaim, I know that the world is going through hard times, and I know the people are in despair, but Jesus is there. Jesus is there. And we need to pray. We need to pray for Jesus to come into the hearts of those people that are in despair. Because even if people don't, even if they can't fight back against powers that are in place, they are victors. They are victors because Jesus Christ is their King. They are victors, even though it may seem from the outside that they're not, but they are. And they possess power that overcomes the world. There's nothing they can do to us. There was nothing anybody could do to Paul. They beat him up. He came within an inch of his life. He almost died. He kept going. Why? Because there's nothing better than Jesus. There's no other power. There's no other way. There's no other God. There isn't anybody that can compare when you have the truth that is found in Jesus. And so you're safe. Right? You're safe. And so don't despair. Rejoice in the hope that is coming from Jesus Christ. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope, that you overflow in hope. And that's what God is. He's an overflowing hope fountain. Right? He takes us out of these things that happen like that, you know. There's a lot of different people. We were learning over the summer, we were learning about training, leadership training, and Minister Ken invited a pastor, Pastor Peter, and he was going through all the different personality types. It doesn't matter if you're type A. You could be as uptight and kind of, you know, I'm not uptight, but, you know, detailed, and what else did they say about type A kind of people? It's like organized, yeah. Well, anyway, there's all different kinds, right? There are other, we had different colors. Right? You see, but that's where God comes in here with this kind of a scripture here to give us encouragement. You have all these different colors, but there's harmony in color too, isn't there? My dad was an artist, and I told him one time, he almost fainted because I said, "Dad, I've been discovering the power of color." And he was like, "Wow, really?" Because I never appreciated art, you know, and you don't really appreciate your dads very much when you're young. But anyway, you know, so you get into colors and you see the power that God created in colors and how they can also work together, right? You think of how two colors coming together will make another color, right? And all these different things, and it all comes from God. And it's all there for us to be able to learn more about Him, but it also we learn how to be in harmony together from these things. I was singing this piece by Bach, and there's this moment where it's like you're standing there and you're thinking, okay, how am I supposed to get that note? And it's so hard because the notes are being played in the piano or the organ or whatever it is underneath it, and you're thinking, okay, how do I find my note? And then there's this beautiful feeling that comes into you after you give up and start to let things just flow. And there's this moment where it just settles and you find the note is there. And I was thinking, that's the way it is with God. That we're all just caught up in our lives like this, trying. It's so hard. And it's so this and it's so that and it's so difficult. How am I supposed to make this work? How am I supposed to deal with this situation? How am I supposed to do with that situation? And God is standing there saying, pray to me. I'm right here. I'm waiting to give you that peaceful moment so that you realize that that problem has no power over you at all. And I'm going to make something beautiful of it. I'm going to make a beautiful sound of it because it's right. That note is exactly the right one that you're going through in your life. And it's found in me. It's found in me. It's found in Jesus. It's found in the Holy Spirit. It's found in God. So when you find yourself struggling, it doesn't matter if it's in math or it's in some other subject or some kind of a thing that might be hard for you. It could be music. Trust God. That in those moments where things are dissonant and things are hard in life, that God brought out of that dissonance of the time that Jesus came into the world the most beautiful gift that ever came. Amidst all of the chaos, amidst all of the powers of Herod and everyone who wanted to destroy the incoming king, he had no chance. Because this king was the King of Kings, and he came from heaven, and he came with love, and his love destroys hatred. Do you have anything in you, inside of yourself today, that feels tight, chaotic, dissonant? Then let this scripture of encouragement bless you with harmony in your life, so that those people or those things that seem that they're so hard to overcome will become a thing of the past. And more than that, they will become a gift that is sent from your Heavenly Father so that you will have peace and hope and love this Christmas. Amen. Amen.